You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
Today, we're going to continue on a series called Authentic. And if you were here last week, Dr. Stephen Mansfield, started this series. And when you say authentic, this means it's about something pure. It's something that speaks of truthfulness, something true, something original, perhaps like these jeans here that are hanging, original jeans. I'm not sure if they all are original jeans, Levi's jeans or whatever. And so it also speaks of something that is genuine. And as I was preparing for this, I recalled one of my debates with my first year high school English teacher. Because prior to that, I thought that the way to pronounce genuine is genuine. And so I don't know if you know about that commercial. Are you familiar with that commercial of Seiko Wallet? Yeah, Seiko wallet. Yeah. Remember that? Ang wallet na maswerte. Balat nito ay genuine. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, it's okay. Okay, you didn't miss a lot. Okay, in fact, you're so fortunate that you don't have to grow up knowing that the proper way to pronounce that your pronunciation of genuine is genuine, okay, and so that's it. I mean, it's authentic means genuine, it means pure, it means original. And last night, after attending a wedding from Tagaytay, my wife and I, on our way home to Manila, we were discussing about this series, and I was talking to her, I was sharing to her some of the thoughts about the text that we're gonna read from today. And as we were talking about authenticity, we were reminded of a TV show that we watch. And this is I'm not sure if you watch this as well. It's in History Channel, Pawn Stars. So, okay. Many people are, in the 12 noon service are watching this. And so, this is about, for those of you who are not familiar, this is a reality TV show about, these guys who own a pawn shop in Nevada. And as you all know, when you own a pawn shop, a lot of people will go to your store either to pawn or to sell things. And so what is amazing or what is interesting about these guys is somehow these guys have a knack, or they have this ability to, instinctively know if something is fake or something is genuine, something is authentic. And so there will be even episodes wherein someone will bring very expensive items. And just to make sure that they're making the right decision, they would always consult an expert to determine the authenticity of the object or the thing that is being pawned or being sold. And so one time there was this guy who brought these two images, two drawings, okay, to the pawn shop. And if you look from afar, you would see it's like the work of a grade one student, okay? But actually, this is one of the early sketches of, they say, at least the one who brought it claimed that it was one of the early sketches of Pablo Picasso. And so for those of you who are art enthusiasts, I'm sure you know anything that is Picasso is worth millions. And so they're very interested to find out if this is the real deal. And so they were trying to look at the signature, they were trying to look at the paper, but then just to make sure, they called in this expert. And so the expert arrives. And then the expert got his magnifying glass, took out the drawings, and then when he was looking at it, he was analyzing the paper because it would give them an idea if it's really from that time period. And not just that, but even all the curves, especially the signature of Picasso. And so he has some other references of his other signatures that would see if it's the same, because he said the slightest variation of curve or even of length of or stroke would determine if it is fake or it's real. And so I think this is really, a Picasso, and so this one really costs millions. But the point is this. Authenticity sometimes is determined, or you can see the validity or the authenticity of something through the little things. See, if you buy a bag that is original LV, you see it in the little things. I mean, that will give you an idea if it's real or fake. If you buy a shoe, a rubber shoe, or a pearl, or even a diamond, it's in the little things that will let you know if that is an authentic pearl or an authentic diamond. See, there are also some authenticity marks for us as Christians to determine if your faith is real. And so that is what this series is all about, because this series, we hope to identify some qualities, as said in the book of Romans, that will, I guess, we can use this as a gauge for us to see if our faith is real. Not just that, but even the faith of others, because now in this nation, how many of you know, a lot of people are claiming to be Christians. A lot of people know how to say the things that are the things that we say as Christians. They quote scriptures, they quote Jesus. But then again, if you look closely at their lives, you can see if it's authentic or if it's really fake. And so in this series, we're going to talk about authenticity of our faith. And last week, Dr. Stephen Mansfield talked about the first one, which is submission to authority in Romans chapter 13. He said that one mark of a genuine believer, of an authentic Christian, is someone who submits to authority on the basis of the knowledge that God ultimately is the one who is in control, who is sovereign, and He is the one who has placed those authorities. That's why they need, or we need, to submit to them. Today we're going to look at another one of those marks, and it's about love. But I want to share with you this something interesting, you know. This magazine, Morph Magazine, said, in this new generation, the generation that we are trying to reach out to, the younger ones right now, they say the millennials, okay, are looking for authenticity more than anything. See, because in church, we are so bombarded with the trends, with creativity, with all these gimmicks. But they say, interestingly, the millennials now are not looking anymore for those gimmicks, those creative ploys, if you may. But what they're looking for now is what you're saying really authentic? Is your life authentic to what you're saying? And it's actually good that we have that with a new generation. Now, again, as I said, we're going to look at this one, love for others. And our text for today is in Romans chapter 13. It says in Romans 13, verse 8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10, love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Let's pause first with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your words. And Lord, I ask God, Lord, that you would speak to every single one of us, Lord God, through your words. God, Lord, thank you that your words has the power, Lord, to give us information, yes. But Lord, it also has the power to transform our hearts. And so, Father, we pray that you would do that, Lord God, today as we glean from your scripture, Lord God, in Romans chapter 13. God, speak to us, Lord God, not just in our minds, but speak to our hearts today. Holy Spirit, we invite you in this room, in our midst today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just a brief background first of Romans. Romans is probably one of the clearest and the most systematic presentation there is in all of Scripture about the gospel. And so if you are here and you're wanting to know more about Christianity, guess what? The best book that you can read in the Bible is actually the book of Romans. Okay? And so we encourage you to do that. But you know, if you would look also at the chronology, Romans chapter 1 all the way to Romans chapter 13, you will see the argument that Paul was trying to lay down to his readers. In chapters 1 all the way to 11, what he did was he laid down what Jesus Christ has done, the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice, and that how by putting our faith in Jesus Christ will allow us to experience that forgiveness, that salvation, and how we can live upright lives. And so because of what Jesus Christ has done in Romans 1, as said in Romans 1 all the way to 11, in chapters 12 onwards, all the way to chapter 16, he was now laying down for his readers, how then does that love practically be applied in our lives? How can that love be practically applied in that in our lives? And so here in chapter 13, he was laying down for us some of the things that are practical outworkings of Christ's love for us. Number one, as he said, is what Pastor Stephen Mansfield talked about last week. It's submission to authority, our relationship to authority. And today, it's about loving others. How many of you here, you find it easy to love others? It's hard, right? How many of you, you find it easy to like your neighbors? It's hard, isn't it? See, the Bible doesn't say that we are supposed to like our neighbors, but the Bible commands us to love our neighbors. And so, but then again, if you look at it, loving others, I'm sure all of us, even every single one in the world, has the capacity to love others. What distinguishes then a Christian, a genuine believer, from others who have the ability as well to love others? And so I'm going to give you three keys or three truths about this scripture or in this scripture about loving others and how authentic Christians ought to love others. Number one is this: loving others is a debt we ought to pay. Genuine believers think, see, and feel that loving others is like a debt that they need to pay. Why is that? Romans 13 verse 8, sabi dito ni Paul, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Imagine that. Paul describes loving others, equates loving others like a continuing debt. It's not just debt. It's a continuing debt. I guess all of us here, nobody here in this room perhaps would want to be in debt, right? We don't want to incur debt because we know the tension, the stress that debt brings to us. Some of us, we can't sleep because of it. Some of us, you know, we can't relate well with people because of debt. Some of you, you have a hard time looking at others because when you see this person that you have, you know, utang from, diba, it's hard to relate with them. And so that is why we don't like that. In fact, we would do everything for all of us here, we would do everything in our power so that we can pay off our debts. We would exhaust our creativity, all our resources, just so that we can pay off our debts. Is that right? I mean, we're not the kind who runs away from debt, right? Yung hindi nagbabayad, no? And so we're the kind that pays if ever you are in debt. And so the Bible, interestingly, equates loving others like a debt. And not just that, but again, it's a continuing debt. What does Paul mean by that? Because it doesn't make sense, isn't it? How can loving others be debt? See, because we know that in order for us, before we incur a debt with someone, that someone needs to give us something first. Is that right? You follow? I mean, before you incur a debt from a bank, you first need to receive money from the bank. You follow? But how can Paul say that we are indebted to others when we know that those people, that beggar, you know, outside this, all across Metro, your neighbor who has perhaps not done any single thing good to you, how can that Paul say you are indebted to that person? Ano mang ginawa sa iyo mabuti? How can you be in debt to that person? Romans 1:14. Paul said here, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. How can Paul say that? He is under obligation. Wherein, if you understand or if you would read about Paul's life, most of the time, other people would do harm to him, not good. How many of you know Paul was, you know, he was exiled, he was shipwrecked, you know, because of some people, he was stoned, he was beaten, he was persecuted by a lot of people. And so there's no love that was being given to him. How can he say that he owes them? The key there is in verse 5 of chapter 1. It says there, through whom? That whom there pertains of Jesus Christ. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. We people may not do you good, and that is why we can say we are not indebted to them. But guess what? we are in debt with God because God was very good to us. Jesus, Paul understood that Jesus has been so good to him, that his grace was lavished on him when Jesus Christ gave up everything to every single one of us who didn't deserve anything. John Piper put it this way, the debt of love that we have to unbelievers and believers is not because they have done anything for us. The debt is because Christ has done everything for us when we did not deserve it in any more than the world deserves our love. When Christ loves us freely, when he gives his life for us, when he takes away all our sin and guilt and condemnation and guarantees for us everlasting joy in him, all of these, when we were his enemies, we become debtors to all men. What is he saying here? If you understand what Christ has done for you, and that grace is not just for you, but for every single one, that is what will make you say, I am in debt to at least say to this person about the love of Christ for him. I remember the story of one of our missionaries. He said, when he was ministering to a restricted nation, he was several times beaten up because he was, you know, either napagtripan lang siya or so. And so, three times, I think, he was beaten up, black and blue. And so, when he went here, he was here just sharing his testimony to some of his friends. And when we asked him, why would you still go back? You mean, you've been beaten. You've done your part. You already helped them. Why would you still want to go back and share the gospel to them? Amazingly, he said, because apart from the gospel, there is no way. There is no other way for those guys to be saved apart from them hearing about Jesus Christ. He felt indebted to those people who, instead of doing good to him, was actually doing bad towards him, because he knew apart from Jesus Christ, there's no solution for their sin. I'm reminded also of one of our kids' teachers, one of our youngest kids' teachers, Miguel, who's about 10 years old. In his testimony, he said, the reason why he volunteers in kids' church, the reason why he serves in kids' church, even though he's still young and he loves serving there, is because he wants his friends and all the kids out there to experience as well what he has learned to experience in Jesus Christ. See, what fuels, what drives, what gives weight to what they're doing is they know Jesus Christ, and they know other people need to hear the same message as well. The question is this that I want to ask you. See, an authentic Christian feels that pressure, feels that weight in us. Do we feel that pressure? Do we still have that desire to share Jesus Christ to others? Because we ourselves have experienced what Jesus, being loved by Jesus, is all about. That's the first mark of a loving Christian. Number two is love others like yourselves, or like ourselves. In verse 9, it says that the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Time magazine said that this generation right now is the selfie generation, or the me generation. I guess this generation does not lack, you know, attention to self. I mean, if you talk about someone who believes in themselves and who wants to care for themselves, it could be this generation. And you know what? Interestingly, when we read that scripture again in Romans chapter 13, Paul, along with, you know, he quoted from Deuteronomy, he quoted also from what Jesus said. All of them, Moses, Jesus, and even Paul, they were saying, they were not even commanding people to love themselves. Mind you, they're not even, you know, rebuking them for loving themselves. But what they are saying is, they're expanding that. They're saying, are you willing to love others just the way you love yourself? Are you willing to love them just the way you love yourself? You see, it's a given fact that every single one of us, would do anything or everything that is possible so that we can satisfy our hunger, so that we can satisfy our thirst. Pagkagutom na gutom ka, I'm sure you would do anything. If you're craving for that pizza, this lunch, I'm sure you're gonna, you know, convince your parents, you know, and do all of these, you know, convincing so that, you know, you can eat lunch in that your favorite pizza place. Because that is you. You want to satisfy your hunger. You want to satisfy. When you want something, you would, you know, do all things. Be creative. Be you know, persevering just so that you can have that. See, what Paul is saying, that same creativity, that same desire, that same perseverance, we're supposed to extend that to our neighbors as well. Have you ever seen someone in need? Have you ever seen a friend who is having a problem with his faith? Have you ever heard of someone who is sick? See, the same care, the same belief, the same perseverance, Paul is saying we ought to extend that to them. Jesus, in chapter 5 of Matthew, he said there, "You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies." He's extending it further, not just loving your neighbors, but even loving your enemies. "And pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." Jesus extended that a bit, and this pastor Jonathan reminded me of this picture, one of the most amazing pictures perhaps taken, astonishing picture taken of the Pope. And this is it. He was washing the feet of certain individuals. Now, if you look at it, he was washing the feet of a woman. There's a kid there. One of these guys actually is a Muslim. And so, it is amazing to see the Pope wash the feet even of a Muslim. In fact, it was so astonishing that even one of those beneficiaries supposed to be, the woman, couldn't believe that this is actually happening. That the Pope would do this act of love, this act of goodness. What is propelling him to do this? What is motivating him to love his neighbor, to serve his neighbor, to love even perhaps what we would say his enemy? It's because of God's love for him. It's because he understood the love of Christ for him. Point number 3 is loving others also fulfills the law. Romans 13 verse 10. "Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." See, authentic love, authentic Christian love, is loving others like a debt, loving others, you know, like we love ourselves, and loving others in fulfillment of the law. Now, some of you may say, "Pastor, I thought as Christians, we are no longer under law, but under grace." I'm sure you've heard of that scripture, or you've read of that scripture. Is Jesus or is Paul here contradicting what that teaching is saying? You know what? It's actually expanding or even giving more definition to what that previous, you know, statement is saying. Matthew 5:17, Jesus said this, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but actually to fulfill them." Romans 8:2, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." Basically, the point is this. Yes, we've been freed from the penalty of the law, but in Christ, now He has given us the capacity to fulfill the law. Before, it may be very hard for you to obey the commands, do not steal, do not covet. But now, because Christ is in you, God has given you the ability and the capacity to obey and fulfill those commandments. See here, before, for someone who does not know Jesus Christ, the law pertains or speaks of something, an impending penalty for him. But for someone who knows Christ and who experiences Christ's love for himself, now he sees this as life. Penalty, now you see it as a privilege. Question is, do you see loving your neighbor as a privilege? Do you see loving your spouse as a privilege? Do you see loving your enemies as a privilege? Because it is a privilege that we have. And so, marks of an authentic Christian is loving others. It's genuinely loving others. Loving others like Jesus loved them. I want to share with you with this last story. I'd like to ask the keyboard player to come up. And this is the story about these guys. Some of you who watch the news know this too. The one on this side, the one on with the shades is Andrew Chan. And with him is Muran Sukumaran. And you know them as the guys who were convicted, caught and convicted of, you know, bringing drugs into Indonesia. And they got executed a few weeks ago, I think, if I'm not mistaken, by firing squad. And so these guys, what is amazing is what transpired after they were caught bringing drugs into Indonesia. See, in that land, once you're caught with drug smuggling or smuggling drugs, it is the penalty. Death is the penalty. And so it's inspiring to know that when they were caught, amazingly, somebody shared the gospel to them and these two got radically saved. And so when they were there in the prison, they understood the love of Christ for them. What happened was they started to do these acts of kindness to their inmates. They started to share the gospel to others. David Houston even had a quote or about them. It said, "By all accounts, these two young men whom I have had the great privilege of being in personal contact with over the last number of months have not only accepted the mercy and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, but have also rehabilitated themselves to be upstanding members of the prison system. Even in jail, they have made a positive contribution to the lives of other prisoners and sought to pay their debt to society." Here's a picture of Andrew Chan leading his cell group in Indonesia. Can you imagine? Andrew Chan knows that whether he does good or bad, he still is bound for execution. That there's nothing that he can do at that time for his, you know, penalty to be uplifted or to be removed from him. But you know what? Because of Christ's love in him, that became a motivation that he could not stop. That became his primary motivation for him to still be good to others, to still love his inmates, his prison mates, and also to share the gospel to them. And so my prayer for us as this day is here in 1 John 4:7. Onwards it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His Son, His only Son, into the world so that we might live through Him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that He had loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." My prayer is for every single one of us to every single day experience that love. Know about it. Experience it. Because that is the key for us to feel loving others just like a debt. For us to love others just like we love ourselves. And for us to love others so that we can fulfill the law of God. Amen. Can we close our eyes and bow our heads? Lord, we thank You for this time, and Lord, we know that You are here. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would move in this place. move even to the hearts of those who are watching via live stream, those who are listening or even watching the podcast. Lord, thank you that you are speaking, not just to our minds, but even to our hearts today. God, Lord, thank you. Even now I pray, and I believe that even now, Lord, you are just moving and touching the certain hearts or some hearts here. I believe for some of my brothers and sisters, Lord God, you are pointing instances or even individuals right now that you're calling us to express your love, to share your love to them, to show your love to them even through acts of kindness. Be it someone, be it a relationship, Lord God, that has been, Lord, severed for several months now because of some disagreements. Lord, thank you that your love is the one that will enable us to mend that relationship, to show your love to them. Father, thank you. You're giving them that grace right now. Lord, for some of us, Lord, thank you that you want to cause them and use them as a testimony, Lord God, even to their neighbors. Lord, it may be hard, it may be inconvenient, but Lord, thank you. It is your love that will enable us to extend your love to our neighbors where we are having a hard time loving. God, Lord, thank you. This is your work, and we pray that, Lord, we would, Lord, experience that, Lord God. Father, I pray also for some of us here. Maybe some of us, Lord God, are having a hard time expressing love. Perhaps it's because we have that lack of understanding of your love for us. God, I pray, Lord God, show yourself to them in a fresh and a new way. Can I ask everyone to please stand up? Lord, thank you. You know, the greatest way, the biggest way that we can show love to others is when we share about God's love to them. And I'm believing that even in this next few weeks, even in this next few months, I believe God will give each of us opportunities to share His love, maybe to a friend, maybe to a colleague, Lord, or even to, you know, a classmate. And I'm believing that God will give us the grace to do so. Father, I pray that as we end today, Lord, I pray that you would give each one, Lord God, the grace, the ability, the strength, most of all, Lord God, the love, the heart, Lord God, to share about you, to share about your goodness, to share about your kindness, to share about your love to our friends, our family. Lord, thank you that you will give us divine opportunities even in the next few months. And so, Lord, we pray, thank you that it is your love that will enable us to do so. And we receive this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download from joeybonifacia.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.